You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 10. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we are forever obligated, rightly so, to honor you. God, thank you even now for that which you would do. We think of all the believers all over the world in these hours and days, and the very hard and difficult situations they face. And here we are, God, in our own particular situation. So, God, we want to understand that in the midst of darkness, there is wonderful light. In the midst of all the evil, there's you, the very bestest, goodest of all. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, all 21 chapters, have to do with what? At the end of the Bible, think of Revelation, think of the turn of the century before 100 AD. And that's when the Gospel of John. And when he's the last living apostle, and he's going to help us what? Understand that all of history, biblical, sacred, secular, all of history involves God. And God, his wonderful person and work that he has accomplished and outworked to this point in history. And John is going to give us an understanding that God happens to be always who he is, and that we are to understand if we're going to answer and understand our existence, the world history, and where it's headed. We need to know him. So therefore, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could understand God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, so having done all of that and all the chapters thus far as we have studied, in chapter 10, etc., to chapter 11, all of them are about helping understand, as the Jews struggled to try to get a handle on his marvelous messiahship. And it was very hard for them, being flesh and blood, to understand God is not flesh and blood, but God put on flesh and blood to become like us so we could communicate, so we could understand why we were created like we are, so that we could enjoy the Creator, the Redeemer, in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that little bit, the Jews, and they had trouble with, they didn't want to believe. So the Gospel of John, as you turn the pages, they struggle through the reality of being in his presence and trying to handle it. So when we came to chapter 10, and we share together that in the process, in verse 24, remember, then came the Jews. They aren't believing now. They're seeking to trap and trick and try to get some advantage. They already have been told 100 times, as it were, who he is, but they don't want to receive it. Verse 24, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Don't leave us in suspense. We're holding our breath, literally. We're holding our breath, God. Help us. Now, that was just their way of saying it. And what are they saying? If and since you are the Son of God, since you are the Christ, tell us plainly. The word plain has to do with full speaking. Speaking fully, all speaking, frank, fresh, clear, plain, open, public. Tell us as clearly as possible who you are. Tell us if you are the Christ. Tell us plainly. Now, that's what they want. That's what they're looking for. Now, we shared together, because of this particular season and where that is, that we shared together last time, that he came together, Matthew 21, and he approached the city all kinds of times, and sometime very quietly, without making a big to-do. But this time, when he comes with great majesty and mercy, the great majestic movement of God. And all, even the stones, would have to cry out if the people didn't. So here's over 2.7 million people in the Passover, all around, crowded everywhere. And they're all excited about everything as we share together. The Passover, the feast, the meeting friends, and everything, all of it taking place. But then, as he entered the city through the gate in the east, as he entered the city, then the excitement became altogether elevated. And the question was, who is he that's riding on that donkey? Who is he? Very, 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 very public. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then we shared together the Lord's table. He went in trial and all of that, very public, some of it private. And he went and he was publicly crucified in the midst of this crowd. And here he is being taken around by the Roman soldiers, the soldiers of Herod, the temple police. And here they are going all up and down the streets, back and forth, from Pilate to each one, Herod. And doing what they're doing, it's very public. And then they're going to go in all of that excitement, and they're going to take him out to the hill out there, the other side of the temple, out there, and they're going to go and crucify him, the three of them. And he's going to march through the street. So you can't miss him. You can't miss him. What's happening? Who is that down the street? Very, very, very public. And then he's hung on the cross. Hung on the cross, you can't miss. And then God covers it with a ball, P-A-L-L, dark ball. Darkness, quake, everything, wow. What's happening? Very, very public. The Christ, who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is the Savior of all, the only Savior there is. He's the God of our salvation. He's crucified. You can't miss it. And then, in addition to that, he's going to go, and 3 days and three nights, and he's going to be buried very privately, and then very publicly. That's what we want to look at. So they wanted to say, would you tell us plainly who you are? He said, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. In a most public, dynamic, awesome way, I'm going to show you who I am. Is it necessary? No, but I'm going to do it. Watch. Now, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of the Gospel of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 15. Now, God, you have made it clear in the 66 books of your word. You have made it very clear of who you are and what you've come, what you can do for us humans, no matter who, Jew or Gentile, in all of it, to help us. And we are in desperate need of help. We are in need of life. Now, God, we have all kinds of news. Religions try to give us news. Philosophy. We try to dream and hope and aspire to, if we do thus and thus, then we'll have good times and everything will be happy. But it isn't always true, to say the least. So here's chapter 15, and you're going to remind us, God, and if I can, in verse... Oh, I'll read it. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also we are saved, by that good news, God's good desire to solve that which is bad. And which we say, if we keep, verse 2, keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 4, what is the gospel? For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, underline, according to the Scriptures. 6, all of it, Genesis 3:15, and all the way through. And, verse 4, he was buried, and he rose again, the third day, according to the Scriptures. So God, you have given us all through history, all the prophets, and all of them coming down, all of the writers, 40, so all the different times, you've given us all of that revelation. We have it. It's in front of you, I hope, a Bible, God's Word, and we have it. So God, we've got all of that, and what are we? Why'd you give it to us? So that we would know, in the midst of all of religions and philosophies and people coming and going, you would know. So you don't get sidetracked, and you don't get confused in conflict. There's no competition. Understand, you want to find me? I say what I say. I have given you my word. I mean what I say. Listen to me, pay attention. I'm going to give it. So we write, and remember the Bible, of all the religious books in the world, the Quran and all of the religious books. There's no book like God's Word. Thus saith the Lord, in the beginning God, and God said, and God did, over and over and over. There's no other book in all of the world, we've said it 7,000 million times, like it. That's the book I hope in front of you. Now you gave us that book, especially there's no competition, not with the Bible, no way on earth, no competition with the Bible. People read other religious books, but they aren't in competition with the Bible. They're gods, their religions, their ritual, their systems are not in competition with God. There is no competition with God. He exceeds infinitely all that we can ask or think. God, you are something else. Now, so God, here we are looking, and God, and people are looking, and you're going to make it clear by the Scriptures. That's what I want to tell you. So when you read the Bible, you're going to read what I want you to know and understand. Now, just a little bit, over if you would, to the Gospel of, on my way, I hit it first, John, the Gospel of John, and stop in chapter 20. John chapter 20. Now here's John. Remember now what we said the purpose of the Gospel of John is to know God. John 20 and in verse 30. And many other signs, 20:30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So all of these are given so that we would understand who you are. That's right, Christ the Messiah, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that we're to understand you are God, the only God and the only Savior, and we're to believe in your wonderful saving grace. Now, over if you would, going back, you can, on our way, why not? Chapter 5, stop there. John chapter 5. And in verse 39, you would recall, in answering the query and their quest to know him, and investigate him. Chapter 5, verse 39 of the Gospel of John. Search the Scriptures, for in them, that's why, you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All the Scriptures are going to tell about me. Now let me do it one other time. Over to the Gospel of Luke. After his resurrection, how is he going to leave us? He leaves us in his wonderful presence, in the presence of the infinite, invisible God, in whose presence we are right now. But God, having said that, now help us some more. So God, we need to know you. We can't touch you, taste, smell. We can't do that because you're God and you're different. Wonderfully, wonderfully ever present. So God, what are we going to do? Well, you gave us the scriptures. He's going to die and be buried and rise again according to what I said. Read what I said and you won't have any mistakes. You won't make a mistake, I should say. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. After his resurrection to the disciples, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And I already told you everything from Genesis, all the things that were going to be. And beginning, verse 27, at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scripture, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. It's all about me, God said. I gave it. It's about me. Okay. Verse 32. And remember the disciples when he was breaking bread at that evening with the two disciples. They said one to another, verse 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us? That's one thing. Talked about what? By the way, as we were talking, while he opened to us the scriptures. Here he is. He said, Let me tell you what I told you about myself. And as he opened to them, they clicked. It's you. That's right. It's you. That is. Now, slide over, if you would, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, of what? Concerning me. Then, verse 45, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand what? The scriptures. I gave you. What do you think I gave them to you for? The fun of it? No, not at all. Not at all. So God, you are the author. You have the authority to say what you say. You have affirmed what you said with no ifs, ands, or buts. And so here's all your words and all your writings. And God, you've given them to us. We have all kinds of books and people and all kinds of opinions and interpretations. But God, here we got them, and everyone has something to say and something they think about and something they think something is or isn't, simply in and of ourselves. We don't make it real. We just think about it as if it was real. Now, over to Luke chapter 16. Luke in chapter 16. And in chapter 16, picking up the thought, if I may, in verse 28, 16:28, for I have five, this is the one inquiring, trying to get help for his brother. I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment, Hades, Sheol. Verse 29, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Now Moses, did you get it? I do. Let me help. I'm going to help them. He said unto him, if they will not hear Moses, Abraham will say about Moses, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets and the scriptures, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. A sign, a wonder, a miracle, something phenomenal that gets us attention and say, wow! Oh, that's all right. That sounds good. Now, God, now what did you, you know how people think, you know what they want, and you know how they, you know our hearts. Luke, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, remember now, if I can, going up to verse 34, 12 and 34, Matthew. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now they're listening, because God said, you guys are accountable to believe and honor my word and to honor me, and they are not doing that. Verse 38. What are you going to do then? Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. In other words, they wanted some kind of confirmation that what the Lord was telling them, which was very serious, tell us why, what authority do you have to say such things about us? Verse 39. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For, as Jonas, or Jonah, was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, the great fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now, so God, I'm going to give you the one sign. The one sign is my resurrection. Over to chapter 16. That's all I'm going to give you is one thing. I'm going to make a wonderful entrance, a very public crucifixion, and I'm going to make an awesome resurrection. Chapter 16, if I can, in verse 3. In the morning it shall be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times that which ye live? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So God, here we are looking, and there's no sign going to be given except the resurrection. So I'm going to give you one sign. You ask, tell me plainly who you are. I said, I'm trying to help you. I told you 5,000 different ways, as it seems, and you don't want to hear. And if you see, but you don't want to see, and you hear, but you don't want to hear, and you say you want to understand, but you don't want to understand, I will blind your heart. By that I mean the devil, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, the reason people don't see simple light is because they choose to not believe. And when they don't believe, the devil, the god of this world, and all the system of the world, which loves darkness rather than light, blinds them. And they can't see. They don't want to believe. How can you get out of sight? Believe. Believe the obvious, the flowers, bugs, birds, bees, people, your own body. Believe the marvel of it all. Wow. And you'll know. Now, in the light of that, God, here we are, and you're going to give him one sign, and one sign only. That's all I'm going to give him. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, if you would. And they're rejecting all the evidence. Everything, evidence is all over the place. And they're rejecting it. They rejected his entrance. They rejected his crucifixion. And they're rejecting his going to be crucified. And they go, and they wanted some sign, and that they could align. And God said, "You've got the Bible, you've got my word, you've got the prophets, the prophecies, the promises." And why such a sign? Because it's the only sign that will help you. If someone comes back from the dead and gives you some message, no, that won't do it. If we have some big show, that won't do it. What do you need to know? You need to know who I am. You need to know, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he, she, that cometh to God must believe, M-U-S-T, must believe that he, what? Little word, you couldn't get it smaller. He is who he is. That's the bottom line. He is who he is. Now what am I going to do with you, God? You're going to either understand I am who I am or I'm not. And that's what he said to Moses in Exodus 3. I am that I am. That's what you want to tell the people. What did he say a little earlier to the disciple in the Gospel of John? I told you that I am. I am that I am. I am who I am. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, signs are in themselves are no solution. They don't change. They don't fix. Signs don't do a thing. A big show can capture your attention, arrest your choice, and do all of that. And in the process, but it can't cleanse, it can't convert, it can't do a one thing for your heart. It's just a big show. Outside, you see it, a sign. So God, you're going to have to help us. So you're going to give us that one sign. And thus in the process, as we're looking to try to kill you, and you're going to allow us to do that, to crucify you, and you're going to bring forth that wonderful sign. Now, in the process of doing that, we're going to claim that what we have no king but Caesar. Crucify him, crucify him. Are you going to believe? No, we don't want to believe. We don't want to do that. We will not receive him as king. And you know, he said, the only sign I'm going to give you. And now, in the midst of all of that, so we have all the ignorance and the blindness, the discussions and the debates, the things we group together, that called religions, we group together about some religious principle, or theory, or system, and we get a, not only individually, but then we get little groups called religions, and we get them together to have our little, so we support each other in our systems and our beliefs, and that's what we do, and God, that's how we do things, God, and we do it. Now, do we understand? No, we don't. Did we want to? Now, did you people want to back then? God said, I'm going to show you. And they certainly went through it, and we're celebrating it. Now, overview at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now remember, here's all the efforts made to privately, compared to the public, to bury him. And they put them in that special tomb that was there for given to him. And they put him in that tomb. And they put a big rolled stone. Stone was made. The stone was estimated at 8,000 pounds. And that big roll, so you roll the big stone. And that's a lot of effort to roll that big stone in front of the hole into the rock where the tomb was. So you got to do that. And they did that. And then you remember, you recall it, as we're seeking to remember, in Matthew 27, in verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, and the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. So any time after 6 o'clock on Saturday, you could rise. So therefore, what are you going to do? I command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. Now you know. You all knew what he said. You all knew. He said, crucified, I'm going to rise again. Well, you guys aren't even saved. You guys are a bunch of people out there, and the whole public, what are you saying? Well, he's talking about he's going to rise again. So you knew that. Oh, we did. And we were going to do everything to stop it, okay? Verse 64. And lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era will be worse than the first. In other words, we'll have more problems than ever. Pilate said unto them, Jews, ye have a watch. So they had the guards, Roman guards, at least 60 Roman soldiers from the temple place up there. So you got them, that's quite a few, at least that, 60 of them, anyway. And go your way, verse 65, and make it sure as you can until you're going to go, and you guys are going to go with the 60. You're going to go, and the 60 are going to guard the tomb, and you're going to put a seal on it, your seal, the verse 66. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So they did everything they should and could to try to make it sure as they could. And was there any question about what was going on? No, we're trying to keep him from rising again. He said he would rise again. The only sign he would give us was he's going to rise again. And we can't have that happen. And we can't have that. So therefore, they did everything they could, understandably. And then, we come to chapter 28, etc. And remember, verse 6, he is not here, 28:6. For he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And they come see it. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Okay, we'll come. And they did. And they, I'll read it. Verse 7, so they can go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly and did what they were supposed to do. And to bring. Now, so having said that, go look in there. And now, remember, the Roman soldiers certainly didn't move it, because they were in trouble. They would lose their life for if they had violated it. So what did the Jews do? Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders, 28:12, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They bribed them. And saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, and he doesn't like that excuse, we will persuade him and we'll pay him something and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly purported among the Jews unto this day. And so now we're going to do everything we can to try to cover for this, because we can't recover. There's no way to fix this. So God, here we are, God looking to you, if I was back then, and you were, I were, and how we got, as a Jew, how are we going to solve that? We can't solve it. We need to know. We need to understand. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the most sobering, awesome fact is that you are God. And we are rejecting you. And that is going to be the key, Revelation 1, 7 and 8, when he comes again. The whole world, but the Jewish people in particular, are going to see the nail-pierced hands. And they're going to go back in their house and mourn as if they lost their only son. Wow. Now, so having said that little bit, and thus all their fears and all their doubts, they had them About God, you're going to dispense with them? Absolutely. One other place while we're here, in there. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Awesome thing it is to remind ourselves of it. Remember, come see the place where he lay. John chapter 20, more detail. And if I can, and I won't read that. I'll start with verse 4. So they ran, both together, Peter and John, and the other disciple, did outrun Peter. He could run faster, and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. But when Simon Peter came along, he went right in. He didn't stop at the door. He went right in. He went right in the sepulcher. And he seeth Peter, Simon followed him and went into the sepulcher, verse 6, seeing the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about the head was not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And you remember now what that is. We did it 100 times. Just think of a mummy, Egyptian mummy. And here's the mummy all wrapped up there, laying on that rock slab, laying there. And there's the mummy. Now what are we going to see? We should see the mummy form and that feel the form. Now what do they say? Here's the mummy form, just like it should be, only it's empty. It's empty. And the napkin that normally is put in the head of the person laying there, they put the napkin on top of the head, forehead, they cover the face. That was aside, interestingly enough, and folded very neatly. God, are you trying to tell us something? I am. I'm trying to tell you something. I want you to know when you look in, you have to understand what I just did. I want you to know no one's here. The place is empty. And I want you to know, take a look. Did you wrap him up? But he isn't there. And you put the napkin, and who moved the napkin? Who folded it so neatly over here? You could have left it right on the head. No, I wanted you to pay attention. I took it off the head and put it over here so you'd pay attention. Are you paying attention? It's empty. It's empty. The only sign I'm going to give you is that sign, the sign of the prophet Jonah. I'm going to tell you, and it's going to be the only sign I'm going to bring and give to you is that. And in the light of it all, you're going to have to pay attention now. Because what are you going to do? Of all human beings, if you study history, read, do something, don't just study, think about people and all the people that have come and gone. Napoleon, Alexander the Great, and all of them, they line up. Attila the Hun, they all line up, you know, all the humans, Abe Lincoln, George Washington, and Alexander the Great, and up and down history. Wow! Now, when you're all done, is there any human that could measure up? Well, no. No, why? Because they're all become dust, just like all of us. So it didn't make any difference. We brought nothing in and we take nothing out. We're all the same, dust. So all the stuff we make hoopla about, it's all over. All gone for that person. And we put a little stone, maybe in the ground, born such and such, died such and such. That's their life. That's it. No more. They're all over. All gone. All gone. No matter who, no matter what, when, where, how. God, but not you. You are the one. Can we single you out, God? Absolutely. I'm the only one that has risen again. And I've made it so public, so plain, that you can't miss it. And all of history, here we are celebrating, reminding ourselves of an empty tomb. Aren't we? Or is it Easter eggs? You have to take your pick. It's either Easter eggs or an empty tomb, whatever. Easter bunny. Here we are. Wow. Empty tomb. We don't forget. No, no. And every year, we celebrate the empty tomb. We have a calendar that says A.D., B.C., to what? A.D. Why? Because he's risen. From B.C., we go before Christ. A.D., after. That's why we changed the calendar. Why? He's risen. Every day, newspaper, calendar, you look at it, you talk about it, you think about it. The only sign I'm going to give you is that. It's all about me. There's no one else like me. There's no one anywhere in any way, shape, or form. So if you try to substitute yourself, A, try to be a little God, try to have system, a religious system, to be a God, but it isn't. You're going to go and have philosophy and all kinds of things, and you hope the system, the smartphone will save you. The smartphone will do it. The electronic world will save you. The electronic world doesn't love you, and the electronic world can't save you. And when you start, and we're caught in it, we're caught in moving towards it, where we're totally dependent for our friends, our fellowship, our relationships, I should say, by smartphone, by phones, by, no, we've lost everything. We've lost it. So God, how are we going to know you in a personal way? I'm looking at my smartphone, whatever you call the thing, my iPad, pod, whatever it is. I'm looking at it. God, where are you? Now, are you personal? Nope. God, I'm trying to find you. That's how I find my friends. Trying to find you. You aren't going to find him. I don't care if you put the scripture on there and read it. You're looking to the electronic world, not to God's personal presence. And you're going to miss out. You're going to lose out. So now, God, here we are. In the light of it, strength. God, it's all about having strength, encouragement, understanding. So in the midst of our weakness, don't have to be. Hope, hopelessness, wondering, no more hopelessness. No more, Christ in you, the hope of glory. No, I don't have the hope, my hope is already secured. The despair, no. No, wonderful peace. Defeat, nothing's going to work out, everything's going to go bad. And it is, except for that gospel, the good news. And God is going to make everything in him and because of him come out good. And in the midst of the defeat is victory. And the failing of one's heart, the failing of it, we ought to be fired up. Easter should stir us up in a good way, so that we're understanding we have life. A wonderful, wonderful relationship to the living and only God. Wow. To have life and have it more abundantly. Wow. And not to be remembering a dead corpse. No. No, God, you are the sovereign, saving God, the shepherd of the sheep. Are we going to cry and weep because it's like they did? They didn't need to. No. You had to go to the cross. You had to be buried. You had to die. You had to rise again. God, otherwise we would have no hope. We would have no help. And we'd have no understanding that we're much more than dust. You're more than work. You're more than your marriage. You're more than your children. You're more than your husband. You're more to God. So we're trying to find value. We're dead wrong. We're going to miss out. It isn't going to work. God, you did a wonderful thing for us. So God, we're looking to you. So we want to be in the business of living. We, God, are able to say, You have identified with our death, and you took us to Calvary's cross, and we died. We identify with your death that we died. We identify with your life and we live. So is it, are we talking about darkness? No, we're talking about light. Are we talking about death? No, we're talking about life. Therefore, are you knowing, are you showing the wonderful, wonderful anticipation of his soon return? We sing it, I serve a risen Savior. I'm looking, God, for your coming. Yep. And courage, do you need courage? The conditions, the circumstances in which you live? You need to have some oomph, some way to survive. Humans, remember, all humans are the same. So when you're upset with humans, be of good cheer, because you're one of them. You're one of the humans. And the reason humans act like that is because, just like you, you're like them. You may not do what they do, but you're like them. So therefore, you want to say, where'd that come from? It came from their human flesh, and you got the same flesh they do. So therefore, you relax and with people. People are just people. That's all we is. So don't expect a lot out of us. Expect a lot out of God. Now, so in the midst of it all, God, do we have the right to expect? Absolutely. We said it in Sunday school, not. Believe in thine heart. We'll close with that. Over in Romans, and let it sink in, I hope. Romans in chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in verse 9, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's what it's about. A crucified Savior, he took my sin, and he rose again to give me life. And I understand that, so I'm dealing with the living and only God in the right kind of way to enjoy the kind of life that he offers. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to believe in mine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And I'm going to go like in Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. What do we have? We have life. We aren't earthbound. We have a relationship to eternity, to God. You know, remember the illustration? A small plane up in the air, and there was a rat on the plane, unbeknownst. And the rat, for some reason, had got into the place and was gnawing away at the cable of the rudder. And the pilot couldn't do anything, because he knew the rat was doing it, but he couldn't do anything. And the rat, if it kept going, then the plane would crash. So he thought a second, and then he did something that was very good. He took the plane from this level, and he went up and up and up and up and up, where the air got less, and the rat couldn't breathe, couldn't exist. And the rat stopped eating the cable because he went higher. The rats eat our life. And we allow that we produce them, and we gather them from other people. So how's that? You're rat infested. Is that all right to say that? Now what are we going to do? You worry about this and wonder about that and get depressed, depleted, disappointed, and you're all over the place. God? Is there gospel? Is the good news, or isn't it? It is. It isn't about you. It's about me and what I've done for you. I crucified. So everything that you're worried about, thinking about, I terminated it. I made you new, a unique relationship to who I am, to enjoy me. And I want you to what? I want you to honor me. We have the Lord's table. We just did it Wednesday. Do this in what? In remembrance of me. It isn't remember your sin. It's remember me. You forgot me. Don't forget me. The way you're going to get out of this thing isn't by you or anything you do or anyone else does for you. If someone would just come and give me some help, what help? All the help we have is very limited at the best and fragile and frail. God, you need to save us from ourselves. What a wonderful thing. He said, I did. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Wow. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, just help us. It's so obvious. Everything is obvious if we just be objective and look at it. But God, we get all subjective, and all our thoughts and fears and what we think about everything and everyone. And God, we lose it. We just plain lose it. God, so we're guilty. We're guilty as can be. God, it isn't you, it's us. Thank you for loving again, for caring. Thank you for your wonderful life. Thank you for your personal presence, God. Thank you, Lord. You said, I'm present. When you meet together, you said, you are right in the midst of us. God, thank you very much. God, thank you. Thank you again. So for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convince them that they would believe and receive you as their Savior. And for God, us who profess to know you, God, may our profession be a true possession. And may the possession of who you are begin to possess us, to govern us, God. Not we govern you, but you govern us. Thank you very, very much. Deal with the heart of the people of the world, even now, even so come. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you may want to sing. I think if I change that, if it's all right, 531. 531. 531. Let's stand together.